Go ahead, start.
Okay, my apologies if some of this is not super clear, super precise. I was a little bit under the weather yesterday, but hopefully it'll come out. Hopefully it will come out fine anyways. So we're starting from the Gemara in the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Yeah? So we all know that there are two parts, two sections of Jewish marriage. First is Erusin, and the second is Nisun. Erusin, just to simplify things, is when a person, is when a man gives, let's say, a ring, some type of monetary object to a woman, and he says that Hari Af Mikudesh Asli, you are betrothed to me, Kedas Moshe, like the laws of in accordance with the laws of Moshe and Israel, and through that she becomes, she's not yet muteres, and she's not yet permitted to the man who betrothed her to have relations, to be fully married, and she is also prohibited to the rest of the world, to that first step of the marriage process through Erusin. But there is a significant difference between what she has done for herself vis-a-vis the man who she's about to marry, and what he has done to her vis-a-vis the man who she's about to marry, and vis-a-vis the rest of the world. With regards to the rest of the world, if she has relations with anybody in the rest of the world at that point in time, when she has become betrothed, so that is a relationship which is asur midoraisa. It's prohibited on a Torah level. It's considered adultery. And with him, it's not a good thing, but I wouldn't call it exactly adultery. The product of that union is not going to be a mamzerah. The second part of the marriage process is called nisuin. That's when they have chuppah, etc. And that's when the woman becomes fully married to the man. I give that introduction because now picking up in the Gemara, the last line, you give them a base. Ahu arus, the arusaso. That this couple who was betrothed to one another through the first stage of the marriage process, through Erusin, the asu l'chamei to Rav Yosef, they came in front of Rav Yosef. He amra, she said, minei, it is from him, what's from him, she was pregnant, she became pregnant inappropriately, and she said, no, but you listen, since I had relations with him, it's from him. V'hu amar, and he said, in, it's true, minei, it's for me. So they both come to Rav Yosef, ask him for the din. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said back to them, "L'may nechushla. What should we be sussed for in this, with regards to this case? Chada, first off, the ha kamoda. He himself, it's not just the woman who's saying that this pregnancy is coming from the person she was intended to, but the man also admits to that regard. But and additionally, Ha'amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Halacha Kraban Gamliel. The Halacha is like Rabban Gamliel of our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we had a case where a woman was consorting with a man, and presumably they had relations, and the question was what was the status of this man? Was he, let's say, a nussin or a mamzer, those two categories of people, where by the woman having relationships with the man, she would have rendered herself unfit to now marry a kohen? Or was this man a run-of-the-mill Jew, and she was single, and she shouldn't have had, this is the case of the Mishnah, she shouldn't have had relations with that man, but she did, but she's still fit to marry a kohen. So Rabbi Gamliel says, in the case of that Mishnah, that we retain her initial status, retain her cheskes kashrus, and we say that she's allowed to marry a kohen. So here too, paralleling that case, so we have a question. We're not sure who she became impregnated by. So we should say that it's to a person who was kosher to her. That being the only person who that could be, so sort of kosher to her, is to her betrothed, to the one she was new restless to. So Amalei Abaye says to back to this Rebbe Rav Yosef, Uvaha, and in this case, Kilo Modem. when the man, let me preface that according with Rav Yosef's statement, it sounds like he was saying that if we were just going with Rabbi Gamliel's psak alone in the Mishnah, we would have been matzah the woman. It's just the icing on the cake, the fact that he was modem, that the man, the prospective mate was admitting in this case as well. So Amalei Abayis, so Abayis says back to his Rebbe, Yuvaha, in this case that you just mentioned, Kilo Modef, the man did not say that the child was from him. Mechasher and Magamliel, of our Mishnah, was speaking about a different case. Would he say that it was kosher? But Ha'amar le Shmuel of Rav Yehuda, Shmuel said to his Talmud, I believe it's Talmud of Yehuda, Shinna, sharp one. I think he said that at least according to one opinion, because based on Rav Yehuda's analytical mind, he would call him Shinna. But anyways, the sharp one. But anyways, Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinna, sharp one. Halacha k'Rav Gamliel. Indeed, the halacha is like Rav Gamliel in our Mishnah, that when a woman served with a man, we assume they had relations. We could assume that it was someone who would not render that woman unfit to marry Kohen. But he doesn't say but. But he says Va'alo Savid Uvda. But you should not act in accordance with that psak ad ikaruv ksheir metzla until most men who were in her vicinity, in this woman's vicinity, the woman in the Mishnah's vicinity, were ksheir, were fit for her. Meaning, if she was a single woman and most of the men in her city were regular kosher men, they weren't a sinner or mamzerim or things in that category. So since Rov Ksheir Metzla, we assume that she had relations with the Rov. But if you were to parallel that to our case, what do we have? In our case, we have this woman who was betrothed to a man. Anyone should Rov Psul Metzla, because the only person who theoretically could have a relationship is with the person who she was betrothed to, but not with anybody else. As I just said, the Gemara continues, v'hacha rov psulma etzla. In our case, as I just said, most people, just about all, are not fit to have relations with her. So Rabbi Yossi responds, l'tameich, and according to your rationale, Abaye, tikshu l'cha higufa, you should have a question with regarding to the formulation of the halacha, as you just quoted, Shmuel saying to Rav Yehuda is saying, because according to that formulation, what comes out is like this. It says Shmuel sent to Rav Yehuda the halacha is such, but the atlo savid uvda, but you shouldn't do you shouldn't act in accordance with that. It seemed like that when Abayi was responding to Rav Yosef, he was saying this statement of halach Rav Gamliel, the halach Rav Gamliel, but you shouldn't act in accordance with that. He was saying that he was saying that as if Rav Gamliel was saying that entire thing. But the only problem is that if you listen to the words of the statement, it says halacha, it's halacha, it's almost as if Rav Gamliel was saying that no matter what, even if Rov are psul metzla, even if most people are not fit to be to have a relationship with that woman, we would be machshir her. But just I say that you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't that you shouldn't act in accordance with that. So he's asking Abaye, how could you say that as if everything is here is coming from a Gamliel, when it really seems like a Gamliel would be macho, would permit no matter what? And it's just that Shmuel was telling Rav Yehuda you shouldn't act in accordance with that. Elamai is the chol meimar. Rather, what should you say? When Rabbi Gamliel said that he was matir everyone to the when he was matir the woman in the case of the Mishnah, who presumably had relations with the person, and wanted to make sure that it wasn't with a nusin or a mamzer, So he's only matzur lechatchila, but b'di'eved, in certain cases when, let's say, the woman already got married a second time, so excuse me, I said that the opposite way. Halachatchila, the times when we should say that it's usher, unlike Rabbi Gamliel, is when the woman is coming to get married, but hadi'eved after she got married, in cases like that. So then we're going to go with the baseline ruling, which is in accordance with the Rabbi Gamliel, no chumras, and we should be matzir everything. But hanami, in our case also, where we had a married woman, we had this married, this woman who had gone through Avis in the first stage of marriage, and and she became impregnated. We're not sure who she became impregnated by. Since it's dievet, we're gonna have questions of mamzerus here, of literally, you know, bastard children. So, excuse me for using that word, but that's the case here. So this is hanami kadievet dami. This is also a case where it's almost post facto. So we're gonna be matzir. We're gonna go with the baseline reading of Rabbi Gamliel. We're gonna be matzir. So now that was Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah said that in the case where a woman was consorted with a man, she presumably had relations with him. Presumably had relations with him, and we want to know if she had, if whoever she had relations with was someone who would render her unfit to marry a kohen. So Rabbi Gamliel said it was mutter in the Mishnah, but Rabbi Yeshua said it was usher. So we're just discussing Rabbi Gamliel, and now we're going to move on to Rabbi Yeshua. Rami le Abaye le Rava. Abaye asked the question to Rava. Rava, whatever the gear says, umi amar Rabbi Yeshua in an amenas, and Rabbi Yeshua said that she's not believed to say, that the woman's not believed to say that she had relations with someone who would not render her unfit to marry a kohen. Urman who, I'll ask you a question from Mishnah. It's a Mishnah on Adios. I'll ask you a question from the Mishnah on Adios on Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. Hey, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua gave testimony. Rabbi Yehuda ben Besir, and Rabbi Besir also gave that testimony. Almanas Isa, literally, a widow of, according to some opinions, dough, D-O-U-G-H, like bread dough. Almanas Yisrael, we'll explain what that is in a minute, in a few moments, Shehik Sheira the Kahuna, that she is befitting to marry into the Kahuna. What is an Almanas Yisrael? So Almanas Yisrael is like this. If we know that a Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorcee, so what happens if a Kohen does marry a divorcee? So that's not good. But the child of that marriage is called a chal. Now that chal can marry whoever he like, but the problem is that the child of that union. Huh? I'm sorry. You good? I'm sorry.
Cannot marry a kohen.
The child of that union cannot marry a kohen. So in this case, almanas isa is a way of referring to a case where it's a suffix whether the child of that union is allowed to marry a kohen or not. What happened? Forgetting the details for a second, instead of a chalal, forget all the nitty gritty. But instead of a chalal marrying a woman, having a child, and that child now not being able to marry a kohen, it's a suffix chalal. We weren't sure if it was chalal. Whatever the details of that case are, we weren't sure if let's say for example. Just that a man, a kohen, married a woman, and then they got divorced. And we're not sure if that divorce was a valid divorce or not. We're not sure if that divorce was a valid divorce or not. And then the man died. So this woman is both a grusha from Chal, and This woman was married to a kohen. We're not sure if she was divorced. That it's me. I should say this: a woman married a. Let me be sure I'm getting this right. A woman married a kohen. I'm sorry. A woman got married, and we're not sure if she was divorced or not, or if she became a widow. We're not sure if the divorce went through fully, properly, in a kosher way, before her husband died. Then her husband dies. Then she gets married to a kohen. Now, we're not sure, again, if that woman was divorced, because we're not sure if that woman's initial divorce for her marriage from her marriage went through, or whether she was just she's just now permitted to get married again because her former husband died. So now she marries a kohen. Then they have a child from that union. So that the child from that union, it's a suffix whether he's allowed to marry. Whether it's a suffix whether he's allowed to marry into the kuna. So hey, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, Almanas Isa, this case of the Almana, we're not sure what her status is. Shehi, the woman who wants to get him to marry, and she kshira the kuhuna, she is muteris to the priesthood. I hope I said that right. Any corrections here? Okay, good. So Amalei, Haki Hasha, are these two cases comparable? Literally, here now, are these two cases comparable? Hasa, in the case of Almanas Isa, Isha Niseish, listen, we're talking about a prospective marriage. So she's going to get married, Bodakas, and she checks, but listen, she's going to get married. She's going to check herself before she gets married. So therefore, in that case, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, who are the two people here? Rabbi Shur and Rabbi Yehuda and Besera, excuse me. So they're going to say that she is Muteres. But Hacha Isha, the Hacha we're talking about retrospectively. The Isha was Mizana. She acted in the Mishnah. She was acted inappropriately. So she's Bodeka as to Mizana. She's gonna she checked to make sure that the person she was illicitly having a relationship with that he was kosher. So give me one second. I just want to make sure I got that Almanas Isa case, because I don't want to mislead all of you here. One second. Vanessa Kohen, behold me, men of Ben, Zeru Safek, Cholo. Okay, I think I said that right. Sorry, I was going to say, going further. So Abba Rava says, you were just asking questions to Rabbi Yeshua as Rabbi Yeshua. You were just asking Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua, in one case, accepted, permitted the woman. The other case didn't prohibit the woman. But Kasha Rabbi Gamliel, the Gamliel. You could have asked a similar question from Rabbi Gamliel of that Mishnah in Idios to Rabbi Gamliel of our Mishnah. Because Rabbi Gamliel in that Mishnah over there, so he is matir the woman. I'm saying to me, he prohibits the woman. What happened over there? I didn't lose my place here, correct? One second. Let me be honest for a second. Excuse me for the lack of fluidity, but just going by. Just so again, one more time. So I'm Rabbi Yeshua. You just asked a question of Rabbi Yeshua. That was kasha. That was difficult for you. To Rabbi Gamliel, to Rabbi Gamliel, lo kasha. But you don't have a problem of asking from Rabbi Gamliel to Rabbi Gamliel. V'hakasani seifa. But the seifa of that Mishnah in Edu says that Omer lahen Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said to them, kibaldu eduschem. I accept your testimony, meaning with regards to with regards to the Almanas Isa case. So we have a woman who's a Suffolk Grusha, Suffolk Almana. She marries a man. What happens to the product of that union? So kibalnu eduschem, we accept your edus to say that the product of that union is fine to have relations, to get married to a coin. So what should we do? Shall we go to Rabbi Yochanan ben Mizakai? Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Mizakai in the Talmud of Hillel gave a decree, that literally we shouldn't sit a basin, a court of law on this matter to be mocked to them. Because in general, this is just the reality of their time. Shakohan, the priest Shomon Lachem, listen to you, Lubachik. The priest, the Kohanim, would listen to you when you told them not to, when you forbid them certain marriages. They were very cautious of that. Avalo lekari, but they wouldn't listen to you with regards to marriages when you tried to be married to them. So in other words, Rabbi Gamliel seems to have Yeshua in this case of Almanas Isa. I agree with you. I would be matter the case, but the problem is that people aren't going to listen to you. They're not going to want to be lenient. They're not going to want to accept your leniency. So I guess the assumption of the Gemara is that this will bring things to a denigration of Beis Din by issuing decrees and having people not listen to them. So now you have a problem with Rabbi Gamliel to Rabbi Gamliel. Because Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah said that when you have a woman whose presumptive status was that she was kosher to everything, she messed it up by consorting with another man, so we're going to be mad to her. We're going to assume that she didn't have relations with someone who's going to render her unfit to marry a Kohen. But in this case, because of permitting people, if the basin were permit people, then the Kohanim wouldn't listen. So we're not going to allow her to be permitted. Rava gives a whole different answer to this, to all these contradictions. Both Rabbi Gamliel and both the contradiction of Rabbi Gamliel, Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua. So Amarava, Rabbi Gamliel. When you're asking questions from Rabbi Gamliel, to me, lo kasha, that's not difficult. Hasam, in the case of in the case of our Mishnah, when the woman was consorting with another man, the single woman, and so Hasam Bari, there she said with certainty that she knew who the man was. Hacha, in the case of Almanas Isa, says to Shama, she's not sure. So it depends on what her claim is. Well, we believe in the woman, but the question is how is with what certain with what certainty she says it. Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Yeshua, the question of Rabbi Yeshua answering in the case of the Mishnah, the Mishnah Adios, mattering there and being also and prohibiting in our Mishnah, Namilo Kashi, that's also not difficult. Hasam, over there in the Mishnah and Adios, Hasam in our Mishnah, Chad Sveika, there is only one doubt. I mean, we only have a question of whether when this woman was consorting with another man, whether what that man's status is. Hacha Tre Sveika. Here you have two different doubts. This is not a classic case of Svek Sveika when you have two inherent doubts, but this is just a doubt. This is just because there was a doubt with regards to her mother, with regards to whatever the man's mother, excuse me, or whoever it is. There was regards to two different generations. There was the first doubt with regards to Almanas Isa. What was her status? Was she actually divorcing, or was she a widow? And then there's a Safi. There's a doubt regarding the second generations. And when the doubt was not, when we're dealing with the second generation, when the doubt was not caused by him, was not generated through him, so we're going to be more makel. Hilchach, therefore, to sum up, the Rabbi Gamliel, Quench Rabbi Gamliel, Olamle, it's stronger, the claim of Bari, which is what we have in our Mishnah, that filu b'chad, when she made her claim of certainty, that filu b'chad speka, that even when there was only one doubt, that's our Mishnah, Nami Machshir, he's gonna permit, Bekile, but it's light, the claim, it's more light, it's less strong, the claim of Shema, perhaps, that in the case of the Mishnah in Adios, of the Amanas Isa, that filu b'spek speka, even though theoretically we have a quote unquote double doubt, which began in a previous generation. So nami pasel. I think I lost my spot over there for a second. Rabbi Shua only had. Sorry, let me start that again. A claim which was made with certainty is so strong that even though there's only one doubt, like the case in our Mishnah, but there's only one doubt, we have a question just about the status of the man who she had relationships, presumably had relationships. Nami Machshir, he is Machshir in that case, he permits Bekile Shema, and the claim with uncertainty, like the claim of Adios, is not good. That flu bespeak speaker, even when there's a double suffix, nami pasio. Even in the case with a double suffix, he's going to say it's not good. We're not matching the woman, Rabbi Yeshua, but according to Rabbi Yeshua, Olamlei, it's stronger for him. Chad Sveika, one suffix, that flu bavari, that even in the case where she says with certainty that she knows that the person who she had relationships with was a kosher person, nami pasil, he's still gonna render the woman off it, the kille speak speaker, but for him a speak speaker so light it allows us to be matur in such a way that filu b'shama, that even in the case where the woman makes her claim, like the case in the Idios, with a perhaps not as much certainty, nami machshir, he's also gonna permit. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught in a Tosefta, going back to this Almanas Isa case, Ezohi Almanas Isa. Got to follow along with these three different opinions here. You might have some questions on them, but we're going to answer them. Ezohi Almanas Isa. Who's an Almanas Isa? Kol she'in ba. All who does not have within her, lo mishum amzeris, she doesn't have amzeris, but lo mishum nesinus, not the case of nesinus, but lo mishum avdim lachem, and not that because of slaves of kings. In other words, the only doubt is this whole halal case, but there's no question about whether there's any issue of amzeris and nesinus or avdim lachem. There's no other those psulim being mixed into this case in any way. So Rabbi Meir, that was the Tanakhama's opinion. Rabbi Meir gives a second opinion. He says, Shamati, I heard, Kol she'in ba, echad mikolelu, anyone who doesn't have any one of these three different issues mixed in, the Nesinus, the Mamzeris, or the Mamzeris, the Nesinus, or the Avdei Malachim, Masil Mekuhuna, we allow her to marry off to Kuhuna. Now that might sound like the same opinion as the Tanakhama, the first statement, but more or less that. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon Elazar is the name of Rabbi Meir, V'chein Hayu Rabbi Shimon Benassi Omer Kedvarav, and Rabbi Shimon Benassi would either say like Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar, excuse me, he would say like Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar, Izu Hi Amanas Isa, who is an Amanas Isa? This is the third opinion. Kol Shenitma Ba was mixed in with her. Anyone who was mixed in with her as Suffolk Chalo, that we're not sure if the person became a Chalo. That's as we spoke out. That's number one. So that sounds like we're going to be Matir, the case of Amanas Isa, the product of that union. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar continues, it says, Makun Yisrael Mamzerim Shebeinehem. Yisrael recognize the Mamzerim who are amongst them. And it seems to be that means that if the Mamzerus, issue of Mamzerus is mixed in over here, then that's going to be a problem. Ve'in Makun Chalon Shebeinehem. But we don't know. We don't necessarily who are Chalon, who are not. And therefore, that sounds like a case where an issue of Chalon was mixed in, then that would be problematic, which is like an internal contradiction, because a second ago we said that Amanas Isa Kol Shenitma Ba Safi Chalal, and Amanas Isa is anyone who had a Safi Chalal mixed into that, and now that would be mutter, but now he's saying that since we don't know who are Chalal between us, it's going to be a problem. So Gemara is going to ask all these questions. Amar Mar. So Mar said, I believe that means that the we're going back to the Tanakhama of this Tosefta. The Tanakhama said, "Izu hi almanas Isa. Who is an almanas Isa? Kosha in lo mishum zeres, lo mishum mesinas, lo mishum avdei malachim. Who is an almanas Isa? Anyone who doesn't have any one of these three issues mixed in. It's just an issue of the chalal, but it's not an issue of mamzeres, nesinas, or avdei malachim. So ha, as I just said, chalal kosher. But if there's an issue of chalal mixed in, it's mutter. So maishna, what's the difference between nesinas, excuse me, mamzeres, nesinas, and avdei malachim being mixed in? So those are all cases which were hidden by the Torah. What's going to see that? And Chalal is Nami Doraisa. That's also an issue which is prohibited by the Torah. Vesu, that's the question on the Tanakhama. Vesu, now, with regards to Rabbi Meir, I'm Rabbi Meir. I heard she said, Shamati, Kol She'in Ba'echa Mikolelu. Anyone who doesn't have one of these three problems, Mamzeris, Nesinus, or Abdi Malachim, mixed in, Masin the Kahuna, we allow her to marry into the Kahuna. Hayu Tanakhama, that's the same as the first opinion of Tosefta. Vesu. And furthermore, Bishum ben Elazar Omer, Bishum Rabbi Meir, Bechin Hara, this is the third statement of the Mishnah, Bishum ben Elazar Omer, Bishum Rabbi Meir, Bechin Hara, Bishum Manasseh Omer, Bishum ben Elazar would say the name of Rabbi Meir, Bishum Manasseh would say, Kedvarav, the same as, he would say the same thing as Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he would say, excuse me, yeah, he would say that, Ezo hi almanas Isa, who is an almanas Isa kol shenitma ba safek chalal, anyone who has this issue of a doubt of her being a chalal or him being a chalal, whatever, mixed in. And also, then he continues and says, that sounds like a chalal, is if this issue of safa chalal is mixed in, that sounds like that we're going to be matir if a case of chalal, if an issue of chalal is mixed in. But makir Yisrael mamzerim shebineam, Yisrael recognizes, we know who are the mamzerim amongst us, but we don't recognize the chalal shebineam. That sounds as if there's an issue of chalal mixed in, then we're going to have a problem. And as I just said, the Gemara continues, says, Bahamar Risha, but the first statement said, how could you say in the second statement that if the chalal is mixed in, where we are going to have a problem, Bahamar Risha, chalal kasher. The implication of the Risha was that a chalal kasher. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan gives a resolution to all of these three questions based on one establishment of what the case is. Mamzer Tobeach, V'chalal shosik ihu b'nayu. What does that mean? The case is when normally, literally the case is mamzer tovech. When they call him a mamzer, he screams out and he protests. V'chalal, but when they call the man a chalal, he's shosik. He doesn't say anything. Ihu b'nayu. That's the difference between the two. As Rashi is explained, it seems like what that's talking about is that we're talking about a case where normally he protests. when he's accused of having some type of issue with his lineage. But then when he's accused a second time or a third time, whatever it is, and then when he's accused a subsequent time, so he is quiet. So how does that resolve all of our issues with the Tosefta? So let's go through one by one. Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama holds kol psul de karule, any psul which he's accused of, v'shasit, and he's quiet, puzzle that renders him unfit. And it's almost as if it's like shtika koda, his silence is acquiescence, and we assume that whatever accusation was lodged at him is true. V'haki ka'amar, and this is what Tanakama is. This is what the Tanakama meant to say. Ezo hi almanas isa, and what's an almanas isa? Kol she'in ba lo shesuk mamzeris. Not when he was quiet with regards to after having the accusation of mamzeris hurled at him. Lo shesuk nesinos, and not quiet in the face of an accusation of nesinos. Lo shesuk avdei melachim, and not when he was quiet when this accusation of avdei melachim was hurled at him. Lo shesuk, and additionally, lo shesuk cholal, and even though the Tanakama only mentioned those three issues as being a problem, the mamzeris, nesinus, and avdei melachim, if the person was quiet in the face of being accused of being a chalal, we assume that his silence is acquiescence, and he is indeed a chalal. And the way you would read the Tanakhama statement is, Ezo hu almanas isa, who's an almanas isa, kol she'in balum, who's an almanas isa, that which has someone who has an inherent issue of chalal, because the mother of this person was a question about whether she was a grusha, whether she was a divorcee or a widow before she married a kohen. But if it was just a question of having accusations hurled at the person, so anytime the person is quiet in the faces of accusation, even by an accusation of a chalal, also Mamzeris Nesinus and Adi Malachim, so we're going to assume that his silence is acquiescence. So now, what's Rabbi Meir? What's Rabbi Meir's statement? Excuse me one second. I have to find my place. I'm just speaking outside. So the comment that Rabbi Meir said to the Tanakama, Hanachu the Kapasile. These are the ones which Hanachu, these Mamzeris, Nesinus, and Avdei Melachim, the Kapasile, which render him unfit Bakal to come and marry regular kosher people in Klal Yisrael, in that, and only those cases, when he is accused of being one of those, and he is quiet, do we assume that the accusations are true? And of course, as I said earlier, this is when he normally protests things. And the reason is that for that is because by those two things, if he doesn't protest, if this is true that he has some type of issue with mamzerus, nesinus, or avdim lachem, then he can't marry regular people. So it's gonna be a big issue for him. So if he's quiet, he must be acquiescing. Aval shesuk chalal, but if he's just being quiet, if he's just silent in response to the accusation of him being a chalal, so then he's kosher. This is unlike the Tanakama, who said that even if he was quiet in the face of an accusation of just being a chalal, he would be pasul. But why was he in the case of him being silent in the face of the accusation of being having some issue of chalal mixed into his lineage? But how does mishum do lichbasle? It doesn't make a difference to him. If a person is a chalal, it's not like he can't marry. He can marry whoever he wants. The issue is the product of a union that he might have with another woman. Now, next statement of the Tosefta. V'kamali Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar l'Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said to what was Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar talking about? He said the Tanakama to Rabbi Meir. He was speaking to the first opinion of the Mishnah, and he was saying Ishmi lecha, if you hurt you the Mechasher Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir is Mechasher in some cases b'shtika, when the man was silent in the face of accusations. It wasn't like you initially assumed, like we just said a second ago, which he's attributing to the first Tanakhama of the Mishnah, that when we permit him, it's when he was it's only when he was silent in the face of accusation of having some issue of chol mixed into his lineage, but not the other three. Rather, it's almost just the opposite. It's not when they called him a chalal and he was kai. It's the only time he's permitted in the face of accusations is when someone called him a mamzer. He didn't say anything. The high shasik. Why was he quiet over there? Why was he? What was he thinking? Suffer mamzer kala islay. Literally, the issue of mamzerus, a voice has to it. He doesn't have to respond. If he was indeed a mamzer, so everyone would know about it. It's something which rumors go about. So someone calls him a mamzer. He knows he's not. Someone says you're a mamzer. He would say, I don't have to respond to that. Everyone knows he's not true. Everyone knows he's just being funny. Aval mamzer, but soveh, chal v'shosik. If someone called him a mamzer, and initially he was screaming about it for whatever reason, chal v'shosik, but then they accuse him of being chalal, and he's silent in the face of accusations, then it's possible, because that's something that he should have protested. V'hai de ishtik, and why was he quiet? Suffer mistayed l'umapki le'mikal. Listen, at least I shouldn't be rendered unfit to marry into the call. Fine, listen, I protested when they said that he was a mamzer, because that was a big deal. But by the chalom, he didn't protest not because he didn't think it wasn't true, but because, you know, the ramifications were not so great. So just to finish up this Gemara, we'll continue with the Mishnah, and we'll stop by the next Gemara. There's a Tani Chada. We have one statement from Yossi. Yossi Omer, Shasuk Mamzer, when someone was silent in the face of accusations of Mamzerus, Kasher, he's Kasher, Shasuk, but when he was silent in the face of accusations, he was a Chalal, Pasal, he's unfit. Vitani Idach, we have another Braisa that says Shasuk, that he was when he was quiet in the face of accusation, he was Chalal Kasher. Shasuk, when he was silent in the face of accusation of a Mamzer, Pasal, he's unfit. So those are two opposite rulings. So the Gemara says Lo Kash is not a question. Hatanakama, Aliba de Rabbi Meir, Hat Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Aliba de Rabbi Meir. These are two, the Braisa represent two different opinions according to Rabbi Meir, as we had just stated. Continue on with the Mishnah. I'm Rabbi Yossi. My sempatinokas, there was a case where a young girl, she yarda, that she descended lemalus to fill mayim min ha'ayin. She came to fill water from a spring, and she was raped. I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Imruv anshe ha'ir masiyim lekuhuna." If most people in her city are befitting to be married off to Kohanim, Harizu Tinas, she should be married. She should be married to the Kohuna. She can. We assume that the person who she was forced to have relations with, so that he was kosher, and she can also be married to the Kohuna. Next Gemara, the rest of this Amud is just a question on this Mishnah, and then it gets involved in the next page. So I'll leave that for whoever's taking over for me. Apologies for lack of fluidity.
Thank you.
Sure, thank you.
Yeah.